My name is Ron Van Dam. And this is the Ron Van Dam Show. Many people ask me, why is your show so frightening? So intricate, so amazing. The only answer I have is because it chills you to the bone. It makes you feel like you own the world, yet you have no part of it yourself. It makes you feel like you are above the clouds and everybody else is below the clouds. And I don't know what the deal is with the clouds, but that's what it makes you feel like. It empowers you to make yourself a better person. And how do I do that? By scaring the hell out of you with the news and things that are going on that we have no control over, and horrible, horrible scenarios that take place in the government and in our everyday lives. It is a scary program, ladies and gentlemen. Can you handle it? Do you have what it takes?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Well, this show's pretty scary, don't get me wrong. Did I ever tell you that I actually auditioned to be on American Idol? Yeah, I am an incredible singer, and I actually auditioned in New York to be on American Idol, and I was chosen. They gave me this golden ticket, and I went to Hollywood, and I came in second. That's so much of a lie, I can't believe it. Did you believe me at the beginning? I know, that's crazy. I can't sing. I can hardly talk. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You actually started to believe. My God. All right. That's enough. I was never on American Idol. I don't even watch it. I can't stand it. So that didn't happen.
Whatever.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. Sit back, relax. Oh, please. My God. I hurt my back earlier in the week. Are you sad about that? I did. I hurt my back earlier in the week. And thank you. I slept wrong. Can you? I didn't know there was a wrong way to sleep. I thought what you do is when you go to bed at night, you lie down and you turn the lights off and you fall asleep and then you wake up and everything's cool. Apparently, that's not how it's done. Apparently, I did something in the middle of the night to myself, I guess, that caused my back to get all wrenched up. I slept wrong. I couldn't move. When I got up in the morning, I couldn't move. I was like paralyzed, which is a very scary thing. But I knew it was my back because I'm a very tall person and I've had back problems in the past. The past. Oh, the past. And So I couldn't move and I couldn't stand up. My back was in so much pain. It took me about a half an hour to wedge myself into my car because I couldn't move. I could hardly walk. It was horrible. And I went to what they call urgent care. It's not care. It's urgent care. I need the care now. So I get into the place and I can hardly walk, and the lady there says, "Do you need a wheelchair?" And I said, "No, but I'd like to see a doctor if you don't mind, because I'm in pain. And so this doctor comes in, and I told her what had happened. And she said, well, it sounds like you slept wrong.
Wow.
That's my diagnosis. That's my diagnosis. I slept wrong. It's my fault. Sorry, my fault. Yeah, she said I slept wrong, and I have a little bit of a spasm in my back. And I said, that makes sense. So she gave me some muscle relaxers, and they didn't work too well. I took ibuprofen. That didn't work too well. And then she said, try a heating pad. And I said, okay. And that actually started healing me. So now I'm scared to go to sleep for fear that I'll wake up with this tremendous paralyzing back pain again because I slept wrong. I slept incorrectly. I guess I should have taken sleeping classes when I was in school to learn how to sleep properly because I slept wrong. Has that ever happened to you? Raise your hand if it's happened. Look at all of the hands that go up. I'm making believe I can see you. I can't. Yeah, it's a common thing. Most people don't talk about it, but I guess in the middle of the night, you know what I should do? I should take a video camera and point it at the bed as I'm sleeping all night. And, you know, something with an infrared thing so the lights can be off. And just observe the various positions that I probably put myself in when I'm unconscious, when I'm sleeping. You see, here's the deal. I don't know what I'm doing when I'm sleeping. I don't. It's like your spouse says, you know, you kept me up all night because you were snoring. No, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. You were snoring all night. I didn't hear anything. Because you were asleep, you butt. You don't know what you're doing when you're sleeping. I understand that some people actually sleepwalk. I know there's a technical phrase for that, but I don't have to know that because I don't do that kind of doctor show, so I call it sleepwalking. And apparently people, while they're asleep, not knowing what they're doing, they get up and they walk around, which is the opposite. I couldn't get up at all. And they walk around, they have a sandwich, they go to the movies, they go shopping. I don't know how they do that, but apparently that's sleepwalking. The funny thing is, if you sleepwalk in the middle of the night and you go to Walmart, how would anybody know that you're sleepwalking? Because everybody wears their pajamas to Walmart anyway when they're awake. So look at that guy. He's wearing his pajamas and he's shopping in aisle 7. Yeah, everybody's wearing their pajamas. What are you talking about? That's right. That's the way they dress here. I'm surprised that the pajama department at Walmart isn't cleaned out each and every day because it looks like all the customers are wearing the apparel from the pajama department. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about Walmart. I'm here to talk about sleepwalking, and I'm here to talk about... but I don't know. I slept wrong. I did it wrong. All right. I'll admit it. My bad. Do you think if Donald Trump slept wrong in the middle of the night that he would actually admit it? I remember Donald Trump said, do you know who this guy is, by the way, Donald Trump? I don't want to refer to somebody you don't know who they are. He's currently the president for a short time more. Can you imagine if he slept wrong? Because Donald never apologizes for anything. He never admits that he's wrong. He says, admitting that you're wrong is a sign of weakness. No, it's a sign of being an asshole is what it is, Don. You kind of didn't hear the rest of the phrase properly, I assume. Anyway, enough about me. How did you sleep last night, huh? Yeah. I used to have very, very strange dreams. I used to have this dream where I'd be driving my car, and I'm going down a hill, and I hit the brakes, and the brakes don't work. I have to pump them in a very sequential manner in order to get the car to slow down even. And it goes to the bottom of the hill, and I'm frantic in my sleep, but I'm sleeping. I can't control it. But somehow the car stops just as the bumper is about to tap a wall, and everything's fine. And I don't know what that means. So I went online because... what do you do when you don't know what's going on or you don't have an answer to something? You check with a machine. You go online. You don't have to open a book or talk to anybody or ask them questions. Just do it yourself in the quiet of your little world. I go online and I type in that particular dream, and somebody apparently has already had that inquiry, because when I start typing in the inquiry, the Google finishes it for me. So like, well, okay, either somebody else had the same inquiry or you're freaking reading my mind, and that would be very scary. Apparently, it's a loss of control. That's what that means. It's a loss of control. And that's horrible. I think we all like to be in control a little bit, don't we? Don't we like to have some kind of say in things? Well, that's the way I feel politically right now. It's a loss of control. I can't do anything about it. Well, sure, Ron, you can go to the polls and you can vote accordingly the next time there's an election. I know, but you only have the freaking things every 4 years for this president position. I don't understand that. I don't understand the four-year rule. Why do we only vote for the most important, the most effective, the most consequential position in this country? The president can do stuff without anybody's approval. He does this all the time. When's the last time anything went through Congress? Congress? What's that? It's a gathering of people that apparently have sexually assaulted other people. That's all that is. Because the president just declares something and then it's done. That's a very powerful dictatorship. 4 years is a long time. Yeah. Can you imagine being constipated for 4 years? No, you can't. It's too long, that's why. I measure convenient time by how long one can be constipated without having to go to the hospital. And that 4 years is way too long. Can we do the president thing like every 2 years? Even that can be an eternity under the circumstances. But here's what I don't understand. Here's what I don't get. Trump is apparently a businessman. Apparently, we've learned, not a great one. He's a businessman. I watched this show called The Apprentice. You probably are familiar with it. The guy would sit at a board table and point his finger at people and say, "You're fired, you're fired, you're fired." Why can't I do that with him? Why can't we do that? Trump's approval rating nationwide is now lingering around 38%. 38%. That's low. That's not even half. It's just a smidge above a quarter. So when you reach the depths of unfavorability, shouldn't we do a, hold on, got a problem vote? Let's do a got a problem vote. I got a problem with this guy. Let's see what we got. If we took a vote today, ladies and gentlemen, today, electoral college, electoral high school, I don't care what you call it, popular vote, whatever you want, the guy would be voted out immediately. I don't care who's president. Pence, he's not very good either, but he's better than that. My God, a sick cat throwing up in the middle of its litter box would be better than Trump. By far. I don't know. We got to change the rules, man. We got to change the rules. I'm sure if a Democrat gets into the White House, and there's a Democratic Senate or something, I'm sure the Congress will say, "Oh, okay, we got a Democrat in the White House. Let's vote every 2 years." I'm sure they'd say that. It's always favorable to one party or the other. There's a Democrat in the White House. Let's vote every 2 years now. How about that? Okay. I really think that should be. That way these presidents would really, really have to move their ass and do good stuff. Otherwise, they ain't going to last 2 years. It's not even worth the moving costs to move your furniture into the White House. By the way, do they move their furniture into the White House, or is it furnished already? I don't know. I think it's already furnished. I don't think presidents walk into the White House and say, that portrait of George Washington on the wall, that's got to go. It's got to go. Don't like it? Doesn't match the curtains. I got a picture of Montego Bay at sunset. Put that on the wall. Get George out of here. I guess they just move in. I don't know. Do they get their own beds? Do they move their own beds in, or they have to sleep in the beds that are already there? Ugh. You know what I'm saying? The Clinton years, bedspread, wash it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they work that. I know that the First Lady, because we're still being sexist when we do this White House thing, the First Lady is responsible for decorating. That's always what they do when they get in there. They decorate. I don't know. I don't know why that is. It's kind of odd. That'll change shortly. We haven't had a female president. We're so behind. We're not a progressive country at all. We're behind everybody else. England had a female prime minister, which is their president. Europe's had tons of them. You got the chancellor of Germany, that's the president, female. They've all broken ground. We just can't seem to do that. We broke ground as far as putting someone who wasn't white into the president's slot. We put Barack Obama in by almost a landslide. But then when Barack Obama left, we replaced him with a white racist. So what the hell's going on, man? We progress and then we go backwards. Like, you know, it's like playing a Candyland or something, or a bad game of Monopoly. Sorry, go back 2 spaces. Oh no, man. I thought we were progressing on this board. Nope. Sorry. Go back 5 spaces now. Of course, Donald Trump, in playing Monopoly, will probably get the go to jail card as soon as he's out. That's an automatic card for this guy, I'm telling you right now. I've said this before, Donald's jumpsuit color will match his face in a correctional facility somewhere in New Jersey. Trump recently said that he thinks that his family will now be a dynasty. That when Trump leaves office after his 8 years, ooh, that makes me cringe. That makes me urinate. I can't stand that. But he really feels that if he's there for 2 terms, that he'll be there'll be an election and he'll be replaced by one of his own family members, perhaps his son Don Jr., perhaps his daughter. Perhaps a model that he porked back in 2002. Everybody's part of that dynasty. And he thinks there's going to be a dynasty going on here. He thinks he's in the New England Patriots, that you just win all the time. No, Don, that's not the way that works. Anyway, there you have it. We have a great guest coming up on the program. I always say it's a great guest, even though every once in a while that is not the case. But today, it's going to be pretty cool. We have one requirement for listening to this program. You know what it is.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Hello, Ida.
Good morning.
Ida Rodriguez joins us. She's an officer. Officer Ida Rodriguez. And we're referring to one of my favorite conversations always is when I hook up with the National Geographic people, or Geographic. to a great series for kids. And as I am drawn into National Geographic, when I was a kid, we didn't even have series like this. Now we do. And it's just a great learning tool, and it's always well photographed and well well expressed. And thank you for doing this. How did you hook up with National Geographic?
They reached out to the police department, mm-hmm. and my lieutenant picked me. So I was lucky enough. We thought it was, you know, it was a small project, but turned out to be a big project.
It's a very important one because kids have a fascination and a connection to animals, especially dogs as pets. But a lot of them don't understand that it goes just beyond being a pet, that dogs do some very special things.
Yes, they have a job, and they make us, help us mm-hmm. with our jobs.
And
they have better noses than we do.
They do. They have very sensitive senses. And they don't even get paid for what they do. They do it because they love it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And because he loves me.
well, that's it. Yes, it's a relationship.
yes.
Now, of course, in what you do, dogs do some incredible training because of their special senses, and they help you actually in police work, I understand.
Yes, they do. He's my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through 16 weeks of training together.
Right.
The trainers try to match us with our partners, our canine partners, mm-hmm. By personality. So the trainer picked him and matched him with me, and then we go right straight into, you know, starting off with the minimum obedience, and mm-hmm. then during the 16 weeks of training, we try to start training their noses on smelling the explosives.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Tiger, who is your partner. And does Tiger train you as well?
Yes, he trains me all the time. Mom, I told you it wasn't here. You have to pay attention to me. So, yeah, we both have to be on point together.
Okay. Now, I have a question.
You know, we all have good days and we all have bad days.
Well, of course.
And, of course, he makes my day better all the time.
Of course. Now, I don't know the answer to this because I'm not familiar, but I don't know if you live with Tiger or whether it's a job thing. You pick up Tiger in the morning and you both go home at night. I mean, how does that work?
So when we were matched up,
yes.
We bring him home.
Uh-huh.
We bring him home and we already start the bond. So the dog lives with us. He only works with me. He's my partner.
So he is your dog. He is your dog and you are his human.
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Training, I assume, is quite rigorous. Well, it is for humans, too, in police work. There's no question about it. Is the training the bond as well?
Yes. It's part of the bond, the trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to, he has to be able to read me. He has to pick up on me. And then, you know, we have to have high energy uh-huh. because they feed off of each other.
Yes.
So if I'm down and I'm not picking up my energy, his energy is going to be down as well. So it's just like talking, you know, to a child. You know, you try
in
to pick up your energy and trying to get them excited about the job as well.
Well, like in any relationship, a tiger does things better than you do.
Yes,
has keener some keener senses, and you do certain better things certainly than Tiger does. I assume, you know, you can mow the lawn and cook and do things. Tiger can't mow the lawn, obviously. So
I throw the ball better than he does.
Oh, you think so? Okay. I watch television a lot. I watch a show called Live PD, and I see that the dogs are able to sniff out. Because that's one of their incredible senses. They're able to sniff out drugs, and they're actually able to find people simply from sniffing the area that they were standing in. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Stella, the search dog, to see a bloodhound work, it's amazing. Any dog, to see any dog work and what they can do is, I just don't I find it fascinating. That's why it's the best job to be able to work with him day in and day out.
Wow. Now let's talk about the series itself. Not only does it talk about police dogs, well, it does, you know, basically, but there are a lot of rescue dogs. They do all different kinds of jobs besides the obvious police work, I understand.
Yes.
And what are some of the other things that the dogs do in the series?
Okay, so Stella's a police dog as well. Mm-hmm. She's a bloodhound, and she's with Virginia State Police, and she's one of the ones that search for missing people. So if you were just standing in a place and you left something behind, she would be able to find you. So she's a search dog. She's a police dog. Then you have Dolly, who's a fire dog. Mm-hmm. He works with the fire department. I think it's Loudoun County in Virginia. Uh-huh. And then you have Willow. She's a therapy dog. She goes to hospitals and people that are not feeling well or, you know, feeling down. Mm-hmm. She just, by her presence, by being there, she just makes them feel better.
Yeah, I think every dog is a therapy dog in a way.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The series itself is wonderful. The books are great. They're not big 500-page volumes or anything. They're quick, easy reads that a parent can go through with his or her child, or the child can actually go through the books themselves. The pictures are very National Geographic, perfectly beautiful. And it really does give you an understanding. There's a little blurb on every page about what you're seeing and what's going on. And you're meeting not only the canines, but you're also meeting the people. So you're meeting the couple is what you're doing.
Yes.
It's great.
The humans.
The human parts. Okay.
Yes.
When they're not working and you're at home with them, what do they do? Do they do things different than other dogs that haven't been trained?
Well, I've had pets right. growing up, and I think since the bond that we have, I can't go anywhere in this house. I can't go anywhere in my house without my dog right there next to me.
Mm-hmm.
He follows me everywhere. I don't remember my other pets doing that, but I guess because I don't know if he just can't live without me, or maybe I smell good. I don't know. I think it's just part of the bond. But no, when he gets, you know, after working long hours that we do work, he gets to come home and rest and knows that he's at home and safe, and he could put his legs up and rest and relax.
Right. Do they get any special type of diet as professional dogs? Every dog's a professional dog. But when they have the jobs, do they have to be fed certain things for different reasons?
So the department does provide the food for us.
Uh-huh.
So the bags of food that they purchase, we feed our dogs. But, you know, the majority of us do go out and buy special treats that we know that they like. Yeah. And I either added supplements to their food. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all the treats that he loves, I purchase.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
We do that out of love. Because they're such hardworking dogs. And
sure.
they protect us.
Yeah.
They're protecting the city. They're protecting the community.
Yeah.
So he deserves it.
You've been doing this for 25 years, I understand. I mean, being
a police officer.
I've been
a police officer 25 years and in the bomb squad for 13 years.
Wow. And this is in the Washington, D.C. district?
Wow. Yes, Washington, D.C., the nation's capital.
Supposedly. It is. We make some changes, and we can make it a better capital, but that's besides the point. I was being a little political, and I apologize.
No, it's okay.
Has nothing to do with you. Okay. There are four books in the series, and I do suggest that you pick up all four books because they all have the same theme, the same idea. And without getting the four books, and you don't understand that dogs do all different kinds of jobs that are important and safe and reassuring as well. Now, how do we get a hold of these babies here?
So you either could go to the National Geographic website and do a search under their bookstore for Doggy Defenders.
Uh-huh.
So all four of them will pop up. You could purchase the ones that you want. And also Amazon, they're available on Amazon, and they're available at any bookstore.
Wonderful. And it's the Doggy Defenders series. There's four books involved. They're perfect.
Yes.
And with the holidays coming up, it's definitely something that, why wouldn't you get the series for your kids? What's the age target here?
I think it's 4 to 8.
4 to 8?
I think it's about 4 to 8, yes.
Okay. Very
we've
good.
Also been putting, we've been, you know, all of our friends and family that's been purchasing them, we've been doing potographs.
Ah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say pornograph, did you?
Paul.
Oh my God. Okay.
Autograph. Okay. Instead of an autograph, autograph.
All right, got it. Now, instead of an autograph, it's a pawtograph. I got it now. All right. Oh my God. Also, let me just say that, and I've said this with all the National Kids Geographic series. It's 4 to 8, sure. Adults love this stuff. They eat it up. If you have an adult friend or whatever, someone in your family who just loves dogs, it's not age restricted at all. And they're little collector's items, as far as I'm concerned, too. They're beautiful.
Yes, I bought the entire series. I love it.
Yes.
And beautiful pictures. I'm a dog lover. Not just because he's my partner, but I'm an animal lover.
Yeah.
Yes.
Always done to the hilt with National Geographic. Officer Ida Rodriguez, thank you so much for your time today. Pleasure speaking to you.
You too. Thank you for having us.
All right. You take care now. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. Once again, you've been wonderful. You know, I'm going to remember you when it comes time for the holidays. There'll be a little something extra in your pants this year. Mm-hmm. I'll be remembering you. One of the greatest joys, it's not even Christmas time yet, but it doesn't matter what religion you are. Everything's Christmas. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I was always so excited. I always believed in the Santa Claus thing. Uh-oh. Spoiler alert. I always believed in Santa Claus, and it was such a magical moment when my father would put out cookies on a plate and my mother would get the milk. They were a team. And they put it on the fireplace and I'd go to bed. And I always wanted to stay up all night to see Santa in the dark go get the cookies and the milk and leave all the presents. And damn it, every single year I would fall asleep. Yeah, and then when I would wake up, my back would hurt, and I slept wrong. I just slept wrong. That was the problem. I just slept wrong. I don't know. I'll be back again on Monday, all right? So plan for that. Mark it on your calendar. Visit me here on Monday, anytime. We'll do a brand new show. It'll be funky and crazy, and I think we'll have some fun together in a very disconnected manner. You know what I mean? Like, let's stay strangers. I think that works for us. So until then, I wish you peace. Big finish. Come on, everybody. Big finish.